The following audio is from Living Faith Missionary Church. More information about Living Faith can be found at www.livingfaithmc.info.
Well, Merry Christmas. Have you been saying that yet? I mean, they've been playing Christmas music at Christmas displays up in the stores, and it is Christmas time. Are you getting ready? Have you started getting ready? Now, I don't know about you, but I got this, like right around Halloween, I started seeing some Christmas starting to bleed out. And I think the first place I saw it was at Lowe's. I was at Lowe's, and I looked up, and they were starting to work on their inflatables. And so Christmas was coming. We knew it was coming, and we're getting ready for it. Thanksgiving is now gone. Black Friday is over, and if you work in retail, you're so happy that Black Friday is over. Now we shop for the rest of time. We decorate our trees, and some people try to outdo the neighbors and run the risk of airplanes landing in their front yard. I've seen a few of these around town, not this one, but I've seen a few houses that I'm like, when did they start? And how many lights do they have? There's a house just north of Pete's that on every, I think on every single line of siding is a light that goes all the way around the house. I think they're LEDs, so their electric bill is not going to go up, but it's all the way around the house, every single one, and it's over the roof. The house is completely covered in lights. So it's time to cook. It's time to throw parties. It's time to join parties, to be at parties. It's time to send out Christmas cards. It's time, and there never seems to be enough time. It comes so quick, right? Do you remember when it was, well, I can't say you remember when it was warm, because it was just warm about a week ago, right? But you remember when it was summer? I remember when my plants were in the garden, you know, still. I still have some, but it's just the cold weather stuff are still there. It's still struggling to survive. But I didn't have to think about harvesting yet because they were still growing. And then all of a sudden, it's Halloween, and then all of a sudden, it's Thanksgiving, and now it's Christmas. There never seems to be enough time. The hustle and bustle gets in the way, and we have to start thinking about all these things. And as a pastor in a church, I mean, Christmas is a big time, right? And I'm thinking, I'm working ahead, and I'm just constantly trying to think of what are we going to do, and how do I fit all this in? And the problem is that as this happens, we begin to lose the spiritual side of Christmas. We begin to take Christ out of Christmas. And we don't do it intentionally. It's not like we plan on it. It's just that the hustle, the bustle, the craziness, the thinking, the planning, the doing, on top of working like we normally do, and all the things we have to do, begins to push out the spiritual side. Now, for centuries, Christians have used Advent as a way to help draw us back into the spiritual side of Christmas. And we're going to do an Advent candle again this year. And it prepares us for Christmas. And because Advent means coming, arrival. We are celebrating the arrival of the Christ child, the arrival of Jesus coming down, as God coming down to be among us as Emmanuel. And the Advent candle kind of draws us to that. So each week we're going to light a candle, and we've got each my sermons are going to be specifically targeting each candle. And we'll end up on Christmas Eve during the Christmas Eve service lighting the final candle in the center, which is interesting that it's the shortest, but by the time that happens, it will be the tallest. It'll be the center. And we will light that on that night. And we use a wreath of greenery to show the eternality of our lives in Christ. So we're going to use this to help us focus. I've asked Pete to come and to light the first candle and to read our verse for the sermon. We light the first, it's a purple candle. And it's to remind us of the seriousness of his coming. And I'm going to ask that you go ahead and stand during this. Because we are going to read God's word, and we normally stand whenever God's word is read in honor of God. But we're going to light the first candle. It's the candle of his coming and the repentance that is required. Purple signifies royalty, which points to the coming king.
The reading is from Isaiah 9:6. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace.
This is God's word for God's people. Hear it and believe. Father, we praise you. We praise you for your prophets who foretold what was to come. And we look back at it now and we see it in perfect clarity. But help us, Father, to see it from the eyes of those who first read it and heard it and anticipated your coming. Amen. You may be seated. The prophecy candle, it reminds us of the many promises that God gave us, that he was going to send his son to die for us. And the promises that he made through the prophets of how it was going to happen. The little glimpses. We don't see the full story in the Old Testament, but we catch glimpses. Glimpses of what could be so exciting. And it's to help us prepare. It also reminds us that Jesus come to earth as a baby was not an afterthought. This was not God all of a sudden saying, well, I think we've let them go long enough. You know, like as parents, we kind of do that sometimes. All right, they've been playing downstairs long enough. It's time to clean up, right? We do that. That's not what God did. God planned this from the foundations of the world. From the very beginning, he planned how this was going to happen. It's not an afterthought. It is a fulfillment of God the Father, Jehovah's perfect plan. And I don't know about you, but I'm going to ask you to, for some of you to remember a long way back, okay? I want you to remember back to when you were a child, when you were a small child, and it was Christmas. It was coming, you know? You got Thanksgiving, and the family was over. Then sometime in the next few weeks, the tree went up. And you know, it looked pretty bare because there was nothing under it, but it was exciting because every night you'd turn the lights on, right? And you're like, oh, Christmas. And then, I don't know about you, but sometimes presents would all of a sudden appear under the tree magically. And you'd look, and which one's for me? And you'd anticipate, the anticipation would build. And then the hustle and bustle would start. Mom and dad would be doing things, and mom would be cooking, getting ready, making the pies, you know, and talking about who was going to be there. And you get excited as a child. You get extremely excited. It's a time of wonderment and a time of anticipation in the life of a child. But I can't help but think that when the people who heard Isaiah, the people who read it the very first time, and they're like, whoa, this is exciting. This is exciting. So I want to look at this. I want to look at what he wrote, what we read this morning. First thing that Isaiah says is, he says that a child would be born. I mean, what he's doing is he is affirming the humanity of Christ. Christ, as we've talked about before, he was fully God, fully human. He had to be born, okay? He's fully human. So Isaiah is saying that the child would be born. It affirms the humanity of Christ. But he says more than that. There's more to it than just that a baby is going to be born. He says that a son will be given. Well, your first question is, whose son is he? Whose son is he? Well, he's God's son. And God is giving him to us. Wow. I don't know about you, but there have been times in my life where my father has come to me and says, here, take this. And given me something that he's had, that he's used, it's been his. And I'm like, you know, it's actually more precious than if he had gone out and bought something at a store and gave me a brand new one. You know, a lot of people have stories about that, a pocket knife, a gun. You know? Because there's something to it. My dad owned this. And that's the same thing we get with God. God is giving you something precious to him. He's giving us his son. And the son will be given. And Jesus will be born to a woman. But his birth was of divine origin. He was given to us a gift. In fact, the greatest gift ever given. Paul explains it this way in Philippians 2. 6 through 8. He says, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. What an amazing gift. Jesus, who was fully God, fully human when he was born, but fully God, gave all of that up, surrendered it to come down and to be human, but God at the same time. He did not count that, what he had, greater than what he was going to do. That is the perfect gift. That is an awesome, awesome gift. Now, previously in Isaiah 7:14, the prophet gives us even more details about the arrival of the Messiah. He says, therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Again, where is it coming from? It's coming from God himself. The gift is from God. The Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and she shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. See, this child born of a virgin, it wasn't an everyday birth. It wasn't a normal run-of-the-mill birth. It's not your everyday gift that's given. This child would be king from birth. He had it all. He had everything. He was king to begin with. He was Lord. He was God. But he would be king. The government shall be on his shoulders. He would rule. Next week, we're going to talk about the wise men. They were searching for the king because scripture said he would be king. And the government would be on his shoulders. This child is one of a kind, no ordinary gift. The gift was special. And that's why we need to make sure that as we go through this Christmas season that we're not getting distracted from the fact that Christ is the center of Christmas. Because there's something special about this child. There's something special about the fact that we are celebrating. And we can lose that too easily. As we look at the light of the prophecy candle, we're reminded that Isaiah told us that Jesus' birth would be unique. And that years before Mary miraculously even conceived Christ, Isaiah foretold that it was going to happen. It's part of God's plan. Now Isaiah goes on to share who this child will be. He gives a description of what this child will be. This child will be, first of all, Wonderful Counselor. Now there's a lot of discussion, if you know anything about the writings of the Old Testament, there was very little punctuation. So was there a comma there or no comma there? Well, I'm going to assume there was, according to context, there wasn't a comma there. So it's Wonderful Counselor. Either way, whether he's wonderful and a counselor, he's a wonderful counselor. It's a mute point. But he goes on to share, in fact, in Isaiah, later on in Isaiah 28:29, he gives us a glimpse of the character of God. He says, this also comes from the Lord of hosts. He is wonderful in counsel and excellent in wisdom. Now, who would not want that said about them? Wouldn't it be great, you know, to say, and I don't think anybody's going to say this, oh, Pastor Chris was wonderful in counselor and excellent in wisdom. I'll be the first to say it's probably not going to happen. If it does, I'll praise God. Because it wasn't me, it was him. I'll tell you that much. But God is. It's not just that he does wonderful counseling and he has wonderful wisdom. No, he is these things. Jesus is a wonderful counselor. It's part of who he is. He gives us words of wisdom. He's with us. He guides us. He leads us. He shows us. He at times rebukes us when we do wrong. He will be a wonderful counselor. I mean, you could spend a lifetime studying the teachings of Jesus Christ, just the things he said while he was here, and you still would not fully grasp his full wisdom. You can't. That's how amazing this child was going to be. Colossians 2, 2 through 3 says that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, to reach all the riches of full assurance of understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ. Christ is a mystery. We cannot fully understand him, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. You want to study wisdom? Study Christ. You want to learn wisdom? Learn it from Christ. In Jesus, we have the full wisdom and knowledge of God the Father. James 3:17 says, but the wisdom from above is first pure. It's not like man's wisdom. Man's wisdom is foolish. It's pure, peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. It is everything we need and everything we should be. He goes on to say that this child will be mighty God. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was God. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word being Christ. He was a mighty God. He was God from start. And the great thing is, as we read in Isaiah, that the Lord himself will give us a sign, right? And what will he be called? Emmanuel, God with us. God next to us. God tabernacling with us. God being with us. It wasn't God sitting on his throne in heaven. It was God becoming one of us, suffering as one of us, paying the price, the ultimate price as one of us, the mighty God. Which leads us to the next description that Isaiah gives for this child. Everlasting Father. This child will be our Father forever. If we go forward to prophecy and Revelation, we see what the Apostle John wrote. He says in Revelation 1, 17 through 18, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. I've been thinking a lot this week about Revelation, what John wrote, about being in the presence of God, by standing in the very presence of God. And I believe, you know, we all have this, we say, you know, when I see God, I'm going to ask him this question. I want to find out about this and that. No, you're not. You're going to be so in awe of God the Father, of God, of the whole Trinity, you're going to be falling down on your face in worship. John falls down as though dead, and he said, and he laid his right hand on me. So God reaches out to him and says, fear not, I am the first and the last and the living one. I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys to death and Hades. The baby in that manger has no beginning and no end. He is forever. He is forever our Father. He is our everlasting Father. He is the creator and the sustainer of all things. I mean, think about this. We're kind of looking at a present. The people who were reading this were looking at a present, and they're getting, you know, what do you do when you look at a present? You shake it? Hopefully it doesn't break. You look at the size of the box. That's what the people who read Isaiah were doing. They're looking at all all of these things that are being described. And they're saying, this is exciting. This is exciting. Colossians 1, 16 through 17 confirms this. He says, for by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, and all things were created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. That's exciting stuff. I don't know about you, but I do. I get excited when I read those kinds of things. Just as I got excited as a child as I saw the presence come out, knowing that I'm getting one of those. That's Christ. We get him. He's the gift to us. And finally, Isaiah says he'll be Prince of Peace. Micah 5:5 says he will be our peace. Jesus came not to bring peace to the world. It's not peace like we think of, you know, let's have world peace. I don't think we're ever going to have world peace until the end. Because we're humans. And we fight. And we're not compassionate enough. But with God, we have peace because of Jesus Christ. Because of this little child that was born in Bethlehem, we will have peace, but we will have peace with God. I truly believe that the world wants peace, but they don't understand the kind of peace they really need. They need peace with God, and they will not have peace with each other until they have peace with God. And the only way to get peace with God is through belief in Jesus Christ. That's it. He will be our Prince of Peace. Jesus himself said in John 14:27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives. He doesn't give peace like the world gives us. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You know, the word shalom in Hebrew. Whenever I think of peace, I think of that word. You know, we pray for shalom. That's a greeting. Peace be unto you. You know, shalom. And we think of peace of calm and tranquility for individuals and for groups, for nations. But the Greek word that is commonly used for peace, and I'm not even going to pronounce it because I don't pronounce Greek all that well. But is this word? What's the word? That word. And what that word means is not tranquility, but it means unity and accord. We will have unity and accord with God through Jesus Christ. He is our Prince of Peace. He is the source of our peace with God. Again, New Testament writers confirm it. Paul, especially in Ephesians, says, for he himself is our peace, who was made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility. And isn't that what the world needs most of all? Is a breaking down of the wall of hostility between them and God. Now, I'm no fool. I know that not everyone is going to believe. Not everyone is going to want to break down that wall. But you and I are still here today. So there's got to be somebody else that still needs to know. Or else we'd be gone. And it would be all done. This child would bring peace to the world that is really needed. Even if they don't realize it. Now I'm going to run through quite a few verses. I'm not going to read them all. What I would like for you to do, they're in your bulletin. I'd like this week for you to go through, and I want you to read those verses that are listed. Because these are more prophecies about Jesus and about what's going to happen. So we'll run through these rather quick. And Isaiah 43 tells us that the one who will prepare the way for the mission this child is going to be on. So Isaiah 43 talks about John the Baptist who will come and he will prepare the way. So this is in preparation. Isaiah 61:1 tells us of the mission itself. What mission was this child going to be on? Isaiah 53:4 gives us the nature of his ministry. Isaiah 52:3 and Psalm 22 tell of his death. The prophet Micah in 5:2 tells of his place of birth. Psalm 118:22 predicted he would be rejected. His resurrection was prophesied in Psalm 110:4. His ascension was predicted in Psalm 68:18. Moses predicted he would be a prophet in Deuteronomy 18:15-18. And David said he would be the priest in Psalm 110:4. And they both Moses and David, said he would be king in Psalm 2:6 and Numbers 24:17. Prophecy is going to be fulfilled. As we look at this light that's being shown in the prophecy candle, we're reminded that the people of old had to wait to celebrate Jesus' birth. But we also know that it was well worth the wait. As a child, I know that when the presents started coming, I could hardly wait. I didn't think I could take it. You know? When's Christmas coming, Mom? When's Christmas? I'm sure the people in Isaiah's time was, when's the Messiah coming? Oh, he's coming. When's he coming? When's it going to be? Jesus is all they said he'd be and more. The prophets had it right. They predicted that he would come. And all of their details are amazingly accurate. Now today, we realize as we look at the candle that while they had to wait, we don't have to. You and I do not have to wait. He came. He came. We can celebrate the Messiah coming. We can keep Jesus at the center of Christmas and celebrate his coming, his first coming. And we can look forward to his next coming, which is going to happen because the prophets said that would happen too. John predicted it. Jesus himself predicted it. We can wait in anticipation of that. But in the meantime, we can celebrate the fact that he has come the first time to save us. We do not have to wait to accept the greatest gift of all. What's even more awesome is that we don't need to wait to give the greatest gift of all. People don't have to wait to unwrap the gift of Christ. But we need to give it to them. We need to give it. And what an awesome time to be able to do it. Think about it. The world is celebrating Christmas. Right? They are listening to Christmas carols about Christ. They are saying, Merry Christmas. They are saying that the Messiah, they're talking about Messiah, and they don't even know it. What a great opportunity for us to say, yeah, it is, isn't it? Do you know why it is? Why we call it Christmas? It's because of Jesus. And he's better than any gift you could ever get. And better than any gift you could ever give. He is the greatest gift. Because he gives us everything we need. He gives us peace between us and his Father. God has placed people in your life during this time of year that you can share a small little gospel message to them. Merry Christmas. And I always put after it, and God bless. Because we have a tendency, even today, to take Jesus out of Merry Christmas. And I want to bring him back. Don't miss the opportunity. Today the world can know the fulfillment of these prophecies personally. I'm going to be talking a lot during this Advent season about traditions. We talked about it a little bit when we were talking in Mark a few weeks ago, and how the Pharisees had traditions that they put above the Word of God. And that's what kind of sparked me into thinking that how many of our traditions are we putting above? And we take Christ out of Christmas. One of the traditions that we do is that we take communion together on the first Sunday of every month. And I've had people ask me, well, why don't you do it every Sunday? And I always say I'm fearful because it becomes a tradition and we start to lose the meaning of it. So we focus on it once a month to remind us at the beginning of what Christ did, what his mission was. This here was his mission. His mission was to come and die. And in the process of doing that, to start to change people's lives. And to start a movement that would carry on past the time that he was here. That would be fueled by the power of the Holy Spirit to fulfill the mission that we're given. And the mission we're given is the Great Commission. We always want to remember. We want to remember Christmas. We want to remember putting Christ back, the child, and who that child was, and how awesome he was, and how he was our wonderful counselor. Mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. But we also remember this leading up now to the fact that he died for us. That was why he came. This child is the salvation of the world. We celebrate that with communion.
Thank you for listening to this message from Living Faith Missionary Church, located in Yoder, Indiana. Feel free to share this recording with others, but please do not charge for those copies or make changes to the content without our permission. For more information about Living Faith online, go to www.livingfaithmc.info.